Throughout history, dress codes have conveyed status, gender, and personality. What people wear tells a lot about them. Their clothes show their status, personality, and gender. In the 14th century, rules about clothes were all about showing off your status. These rules, called sumptuary laws, said only rich folks could wear fancy stuff like furs, leather, and jewels. After the Black Plague, things changed. More people had money, especially merchants and regular folks. Suddenly, they could afford nice clothes, and that messed with the old class system. Queen Elizabeth I tried to keep things in order in the 1500s by making more rules about what you could wear. In 15th century Italy, there were strict clothing rules that showed people's identities. Prostitutes were required to wear bright colors and makeup to show they were bad. Jewish women had to wear hoop earrings, which were a Christian symbol, because of anti-Semitic laws. Fashion evolves with values and politics. In the 1700s, European aristocrats changed their fancy clothes to simpler ones to show they were not wasteful anymore but careful with money. Instead of showing off wealth, they wore clothes to show their political and moral beliefs. An enlightened man's outfit included a plain coat and a small wig, avoiding extravagance. King Charles II of England even introduced the three-piece suit to make a point against the old ways of monarchy and to show he was modern. From towering fancy headpieces, men's wigs transformed into smaller, practical versions aimed at modern men. Wig makers tweaked the meaning of their hairpieces to appeal to a crowd including thoughtful young men and wealthy nobles. Fashion and class struggles in history. As clothing lost its power to show off wealth, rich folks found new ways to flaunt their status. Instead of relying on fancy clothes, they focused on acting classy and refined, which was a skill you could only learn by living a high life for years. Now, knowledge has become the ultimate fashion statement. Knowing what to wear and when was crucial. People would judge every little detail of your outfit, discussing if you were trying too hard or not hard enough. Skilled tailors crafted fancy clothes tailored just for you and the occasion. One wrong move could expose you as clueless or lacking elegance. So, being well-dressed meant owning lots of pricey custom-made clothes, something only the rich could afford. While the rich used dress codes to show off, regular folks came up with new styles to rebel against it. By the late 1500s, fashion started following a pattern. Fashion perpetuates symbolic attire evolution. High heels, once a symbol of ultra-femininity, actually started out as a fashion statement for guys. Back in the day, Persian soldiers rocked high heels to keep their feet steady in stirrups. When they flaunted their fancy footwear in the French court in 1599, everyone went wild for it. Nobles were particularly taken with how the heels made legs look longer and more elegant. Soon, high heels became a status symbol, suggesting a life of luxury where walking wasn't a necessity. The evolution of high heels. King Louis XIV of France, who was short, started a trend by wearing high heels. He made his 4-inch heels distinctive by painting their soles red, a privilege only for his court members. Nowadays, this red-soled high-heel shoe is a symbol of wealth and power, all thanks to designer Christian Louboutin, who patented the scarlet soles for his exclusive and expensive shoes. Initially, high heels were worn by daring and rebellious women as a symbol of sexual freedom. However, by the early 18th century, men rejected them for being uncomfortable and passed the trend on to women. These shoes made it harder for wearers to walk comfortably, resulting in a delicate stride that further objectified women. Today, high heels carry political significance due to advancements in gender equality. In the 20th century, many workplaces required women to wear high heels, making their jobs more difficult and painful. Now that laws don't mandate women to wear them, high heels can symbolize either the old patriarchy or a new sense of authority or sexual power. Dress codes shape societal norms. In 1740, South Carolina made a rule saying enslaved people couldn't dress fancier than they were supposed to. This was one way white supremacists kept control and felt superior. They saw a well-dressed black person as a threat to their power. After World War I, some black veterans were met with angry mobs at train stations. The mobs took off their military uniforms because they thought the clothes were too nice for a black man's social status. White expectations pushed black people to dress modestly, but also turned clothing into a way to express themselves during the civil rights movement. At first, educated black folks wore fancy suits to look as good as white people when they marched for equal rights. They wanted to show they were just as good. But some black folks thought dressing up like white people was like giving in to racism. Instead, they wore jeans and overalls like sharecroppers in factory. They did this to show they were fighting alongside the working class for equality. The fight for equality and natural black appearance. The Black is Beautiful movement celebrated natural black features and demanded acceptance for an unaltered black appearance. It sparked a huge economic boom, making braids, Afro hairstyles, and African-inspired clothing trendy and powerful statements for equality. However, some dress codes masked racism under the guise of professionalism. In the 1970s, American Airlines banned cornrows, a traditional black hairstyle. When flight attendant Renee Rogers wore braids, her employers demanded she cover them or leave. She sued for racial discrimination but lost. The court ruled the dress code applied to everyone and didn't require altering hair, just covering it. Although Rogers lost, similar cases eroded such strict standards. In 2019, New York City's Commission on Human Rights, like California with its Crown Act, passed laws protecting the right to wear natural hair. Fashion often reinforces gender norms. When Anaya Wolf showed up to her prom in 2016 wearing a suit instead of a dress, the school officials refused her entry because she challenged traditional ideas about gender. In many places, there are strict rules about what boys and girls should wear, with dresses for girls and suits for boys being the norm. But when someone like Anna wears something different, it shakes things up. This kind of dress code tries to keep everyone following the same old gender rules. People who break these rules are seen as challenging society's expectations. Fashion empowers women against patriarchy. During the Enlightenment, when guys ditched fancy clothes but gals kept on with their flashy attire, it made a big gap between how men and women dressed. This gap showed how women were seen as just accessories to their husbands, showing off their wealth and status. Women's fashion was all about tight corsets, heavy skirts, fancy jewelry, and high heels, which men thought showed off weakness and vanity. These clothes, not just physically but also symbolically, held women back, making it harder for them to move forward. The rational dress movement in the 1800s aimed to get rid of risky clothes like corsets because they believed they were bad for health, but it didn't work out. Women didn't break free from strict fashion rules until the 1920s. During World War I, when many men were away fighting, women took over a lot of jobs. They couldn't wear tight corsets while working hard. So, they ditched the old-fashioned hourglass figure and went for more boyish looks. They chopped off their hair into bobs and wore looser, more comfortable clothes. They even went bold with makeup, breaking away from centuries of conservative style. Even though some businesses tried to stop the new flapper style, it became super popular by the mid-1920s. This craze led to the mass production of makeup like eyeliner, mascara, lipstick, and blush, changed trends in dress codes and workplace discrimination. Even though flappers broke away from old-fashioned ideas about women, society still pressured them to look traditionally feminine. Back in the day, dress codes for women demanded high heels, stockings, skirts, and makeup, all to fit a certain standard. This subtly pushed the idea that women cared more about their looks than their competence, reinforcing the stereotype that they were less capable than men. In the 1980s, Anne Hopkins applied for a higher position at her accounting firm, but got turned down because her boss thought her outfit wasn't girly enough. Hopkins took her case to the U.S. Supreme Court in 1989 and won. She argued that if she dressed more traditionally feminine, her male colleagues wouldn't take her as seriously, hurting her authority. Sandra Day O'Connor, the only woman on the court then, wrote the opinion, which is still a big deal in showing how workplaces discriminate against women. Today, companies don't enforce strict dress codes like they used to, especially in professional settings. Women have more freedom to show their style. But there are still unwritten rules about how people should dress, and they're just as strict as the old ones. Women without much money and people of color often feel like they can't dress casually because they're still fighting against centuries of stereotypes about gender and race. Dress codes evolved, but still serve the same purpose. Today's trademark laws are like the dress codes of the Renaissance era. Back then, the wealthy followed strict clothing rules, and people judged others based on what they wore. Similarly, today, trademark laws keep luxury items exclusive to their makers. Logos like Chanel's, Ralph Lauren's, and Tiffany's logos protect the supply chain, maintain ownership rights, and fight against fake products. This helps keep luxury symbols rare and reserved for the elite. For instance, while Hermès can't stop anyone from buying its Birkin bag, it can make it super expensive and hard to get, like putting a year-long waiting list and a $30,000 price tag on it. Still, knockoffs flood the market, letting ordinary folks choose to look wealthy. Some rich folks decide to dress casually to show off that they don't care about impressing others. They think they're already superior and don't need fancy clothes to prove it. Take Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg, for instance. He sticks to a simple outfit of a gray t-shirt and jeans. In Silicon Valley, you won't catch anyone in a suit. Over there, looking messy and not so polished suggests you're super smart, important, and really hardworking. But when Zuckerberg had to speak in front of Congress, he switched it up and put on a suit. Why? To tell everyone watching that he's serious, trustworthy, and professional. Key points. 1. Dress codes shape societal norms, reflecting status, gender, and identity throughout history. 2. Fashion trends mirror societal values and politics, evolving from sumptuary laws to modern trademark laws. 3. Historical clothing rules enforced identities, such as discriminatory dress codes for marginalized groups. 4. Trends like high heels symbolize status and power, while movements like Black is Beautiful challenge societal norms. 5. Workplace dress codes reflect biases, as seen in discrimination cases like Ann Hopkins. 6. Dress codes continue to signal status and identity, akin to modern trademark laws.